Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We will be reviewing the news, including some not very interesting news from Trump Social, indicating that Truth Social, indicating that it's not going to be very interesting. They seem to be headed toward a highly monitored, highly censored social media. And, you know, the reason Trump chose the word truth was precisely that it would be a place where you can talk about the truth against the censorship rules that keep you from talking about the truth on other social media like Twitter. But if you initiate this project on the basis that it will be about the truth, and then suddenly AIs are being added in, there is a company called Hive which will be in charge of the automated moderation, and we know how this will end. It will end that and they're talking about, we want this to be a very safe place. I mean, this is the language of the left. You never concede on the concept of a safe space, because a safe space means a place where what I say will be limited by how it makes you feel. That's what the left has been wanting. Neberius says the truth is often not family friendly. Yeah, I mean, think about the number of truths that we cannot talk about when we're in a family meeting. So Truth Social is already dropping in value on the stock market. The expectations about this social media platform are being downplayed. Raleigh, North Carolina, shortages of food are starting to show across the nation. Look at this, a grocery store, not a single piece of meat left almost. That is the situation. And so for those of you who answered no on the survey yesterday, saying that you haven't seen the effect of the shortages yet, you will soon see it, I have the impression. Or perhaps you are in a state that is protected from this. Perhaps if you're not in a lockdown state and you're not in a vaccine mandate state, perhaps you won't be affected. U.S. governor sued over school mask mandate ban. The lawsuit came as schools went through standoffs with parents defying public school mask mandates. 7 Virginia school districts announced a lawsuit on Monday directed at Governor Glenn Youngkin over his executive order making school mask mandates null and void by giving parents the ultimate choice on whether their children's mask up or not. So we had a hope for this guy because he was giving the decision to the parents. Now, how can you be against this? It's an absence of a mandate, but the parents are now suing. Well, the school districts are now suing to request to be forced to make mask mandates. That's how the leftists go. They want to be constrained, and they want to constrain other people around them. So what did we learn today about Trump Truth Social? Rutan Tutin says, what about the Beyond Meat section? Beyond Meat is still available, no shortages. It seems to me that there will never be a shortage of this fake meat. Sprocket says, how is your reserve of smoked sausages, Jeff? Smoked are the sausages for the based men. I don't have smoked sausages. I did have some dry sausage that I had done. But I've eaten them all, so I have none left. Carnival says, four horsemen of the apocalypse, pestilence, war, famine, and death. Okay, that's quite dark. Trump, Truth Social, developing content moderation practices to ensure a family-friendly community. We want this to be a very safe place, Nunes said. When Truth Social launches later this quarter, the Trump Media and Technology Group social media platform will already have stringent content moderation practices in place to ensure it is a family-friendly online community. company CEO Devin Nunes told Fox Business. Both Nunes and former President Donald Trump separately have told Fox Business that Truth Social is expected to be up and running by the end of the first quarter of 2022. Nunes told Fox Business that the company is on track, but those involved in the final stages of the platform's development told Fox Business that they anticipate that malign actors will target the site and attempt to flood the platform with illegal content, especially during and immediately after their formal launch. Fox Business has learned that TMTG is partnering with Hive, a San Francisco-based Series D startup that provides automated solutions through cloud-based artificial intelligence for understanding images, videos, and text content. Hive's technology provides automated content moderation across video, image, text, and audio. We want to be very family-friendly. We want this to be a very safe place. So forget about Truth Social. If anything, it's going to get worse than Twitter. So what are we going to have? Oh, you have the right to contest the legitimacy of some elections. I guess this is going to be the difference. But it won't have anything to do with the truth, because at first it will be managed by a San Francisco-based company that doesn't have any commitment to free speech. And so you're going to be detected by algorithm and eventually kicked. That is what will happen at Truth Social. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions tonight. Entropy link is right below the video in the description. And our survey tonight is, are you enthusiastic about Trump Social? I personally am not anymore. I used to be. But the more they are exposing their intent here, the more I see the development of something perhaps even worse than Getter in terms of adherence to free speech standards. Trump's Truth Social site will use Silicon Valley algorithms to proactively suppress hate speech and bullying. Trump Media and Technology Group revealed during an interview with Fox Business on Monday that the upcoming Truth Social free speech platform, touted by former President Donald Trump, will use a Silicon Valley algorithm to make the site family-friendly. Content censored by the algorithm will include nudity, drugs, violence, hate speech, spam, and bullying. I got banned from Twitter for spam. I still don't know what I spammed. Did I spam the link to my everyday show? Is it the case that once you make a show every day and you're always coming back with a link every day, that you are spamming? That's the problem with these terms. It's that they can be used to mean anything, and eventually the opposition gets excluded, because the artificial intelligence is also influenced by the reports. So you have leftists teaming up essentially with the AI. The leftists are reporting. The AI, on the other hand, is detecting a couple of things that they can accuse you of, and eventually Twitter gets tempted and pushes the button and you're banned. The Truth Social ticker stock market value has been dropping in the last 5 days from a high of $87 per stock to a low, a bottom reaching $61 per stock. It is currently slightly recovering, but I think there will be further drops. This is the Digital World Acquisition Corp, which is the SPAC. It is a kind of acquisition company that is meant to start to get Truth Social started and to get them started on the open market. Those news are not good for free speech. I think we're going to have to stick to Gab. Introducing Meta's next-gen AI supercomputer. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg has even more ambitions in terms of creating AI that will track what we say, what we think, We're introducing the AI Research Supercluster, which we believe is among the world's fastest AI supercomputers that will accelerate AI research and help us build for the metaverse. Okay. AI can currently perform tasks like translating text between languages and helping identify potentially harmful content, but developing the next generation of AI will require powerful supercomputers capable of quintillions of operations per second. Pineapple Platypotamus says, well, Gab just got way more popular. Yeah, I think that Gab is the way to go long term, and I'm a big fan of sticking to that solution. I've been subscribing to Getter, and I don't find anything exciting. We had an update on the Ukraine situation by the Pentagon, John Kirby, Pentagon spokesperson. Nothing interesting in the update, just this guy saying, you know, we are updating, we are letting our troops get prepared in case there's an event, we are sending reinforcements in case there is something. So nothing new that I've learned from this particular intervention. Same thing with the Jen Psaki answer. It's pretty blurry what's happening around the Ukraine, and we don't have any news from today compared to the coverage I've done, what was it, yesterday or 2 days ago? Nationalist says, Facebook's AI said something like 90% of hate speech on their platform is either anti-white or anti-male. Yes, that was one of the big discoveries. When you get these huge servers and you get this extremely intelligent robot, and it's telling you, hey, bro, you're an anti-white bigot most, like, this is what's happening on your platform. This was such a victory for people who have been talking about the injustice done to white people and males and heterosexual. It's like, yeah, you guys are the most hateful by objective criteria. We've trained here the most intelligent set of computers ever trained, and they're telling you what you are. You are an anti-white bigot. Top Ukrainian says, Americans safer in Kiev than Los Angeles. Ouch! That one is so good because it's true. Like, you could be, they want to make us believe that essentially Ukraine is a potential area of war. Whether I believe them or not, okay, we'll see. I don't know. But your Coach Red Pill right now is safer in Ukraine than he would be if he was in Los Angeles. And that says so much, such a powerful comment here by an Ukrainian official. It shows just the misplaced priorities of the American government and how they care about another country out there that we have nothing to do with, other than we are in a kind of web of corruption along with the American president and his son. And we are being asked to essentially sacrifice some lives for a war that we have nothing to do in, that we don't get any benefit from other than keeping the enemies of Joe Biden and his son away from controlling this area of the world. The stock market has been crashing today, cementing the idea that I've been discussing this weekend, that we seem to be headed toward at least a recession, or if we're not right now, we will be soon in a couple of months. If this is not the big one will come in a couple of months, and it all depends on various, is there a last peak, is there a last enthusiasm built around some reversal by the Fed changing their policy or whatever, or is it the end? Maybe it's the end. In any case, Bitcoin has been doing relatively good, weathering the storm. And in fact, while the stock market was crashing, Bitcoin was slightly increasing, which, as commented on by our Discord member Renting Patriarch, is a first sign of a decorrelation between Bitcoin and the stock market. That would be absolutely beautiful if the stock market can crash while Bitcoin rises. It would mean the money is running away from the mainstream investment platforms and just being poured into the cryptocurrency. Biden puts 8,500 troops on prepare to deploy orders over Ukraine crisis. Okay, that's a small number of troops though, 8,500. If we trust the current counts of the Russian build-up around the border is around 100,000. And those are just those who are physically present. We're not talking about any further reinforcement. So I don't know if that's enough troops to fight a war with Russia or to try to block Russia from a progression in Ukraine, if that is to ever happen. Justin, Pentagon puts some forces on heightened alert for potential NATO deployment order to the eastern flank. Those were the news on Ukraine and Russia today. Disclose.tv reveals on Twitter, British High Court rules that WikiLeaks' Julian Assange can appeal his extradition case to the UK Supreme Court. So he had been extradited, at least the decision had been taken. And now we learn that he's going to have a chance to do an appeal. So we'll see if he can get this canceled in the US, in the UK Supreme Court. If not, he's going to be extradited to the US. Absolute injustice being made to this guy who's doing journalistic work, work that was critical in identifying just the level of corruption in the war enterprise of America and Iraq and in other places also. Why are we at all trying to punish this guy? Well, it's because the people in power want to intimidate future people who would go after the war mongering narrative. Kolanovic says, pull back is overdone, market could be in final stages of correction. So there are some people who believe that we may be at the end of the correction and that it won't crash further than it already has. There are three certainties in life: death, taxes, and a weekly dose of stock market pep talk from JP Morgan's head of global strategy, Marko Kolanovic. Today is an example of the third, because in the latest weekly highly anticipated JP Morgan view note, the Croat who 2 weeks ago infamously said to buy the dip, echoing another JP Morgan strategist saying exactly 1 week earlier that it's time to stay bullish as positive catalysts are not exhausted, which in turn followed the third JPM Croatian strategist Dubravko Lakos Bujas saying precisely the same in late December. I don't know if these guys are true strategists, in the sense I don't know if they give us these advice because they want to fool us to buy their stocks. They want to slow down the crash and they want to get a chance to sell their position. I don't know. Or if they don't do that, then maybe they're just giving away heartfelt advice on the markets to help us make decision. In any case, I'm not getting in the stock market. There was a hearing today that was important around the question of the vaccine and the mask mandates and the vaccine medical exemption and vaccine passports. It was organized by Senator Ron Johnson. And I believe it was kind of away from the Senate. I think that senators can decide to hold a public hearing, essentially, where the other senators will not be present if they don't want to, but where they can freely hire some experts. And so you had Robert Malone, you had the whole resistance to the vaccine passport. The whole movement was there. You had a couple of important testimonies, people saying what's the state of things in terms of how the medical profession is being constrained and extorted, essentially forced not to write exceptions, because they have been legally threatened that if you write an exception for your patient, you could lose your medical license. Filthy Bayouzo says, best news is the anti-vaccine mandate trucker convoy crossing the country and heading to Ottawa with the aims to knock some sense into Trudeau's thick skull in the name of liberty. Yes, we've seen the truck convoy is growing. It is said that there might be 50,000 people, 50,000 different vehicles, some of them trucks, some of them pickups. And this video has been released today about that. They are headed toward, I believe, Ottawa.
Wow, this is a huge, look, they go forever. This is by Atchison outside of Edmonton, heading to Calgary.
So they are in Edmonton, Calgary.
January 23rd, 2022 convoy.
So they are very far. They are in the west of Canada. I don't know if they will all be headed toward Ottawa.
More than trucks, lots of cars and trucks. Very impressive. Goes on forever.
Man, the cost in fuel will be enormous. If you have this kind of infinite line of people, they will all have to stop at gas stations along the way. I wonder if there will not be some shortages. They are headed a very far distance. The guy is listening to Karma Police. Very nice. Great to hear that this is going on. I mean, this is enough people to block an entire city from functioning at all. I mean, if these guys decide to make a slow roll on the highways around Ottawa, there's going to be problems emerging in terms of supply chain and that kind of stuff. Bernard's Laundry says, where do they go to the washroom? Well, a trucker can have their own little toilet inside their truck. They have a place with a bed inside the truck. And they can also pee on the side of the road. And they can also go to the toilet in gas stations. So going back to the hearing about the vaccine mandate, which is related to the truckers of Canada in a way, but this was happening in the US. This guy explains why doctors are losing control over making recommendations to their patients.
Went out to all physicians from the medical board saying, any physician in California who writes an inappropriate exemption for masks or other COVID-related measures will have his medical license subjected to investigation and disciplinary action. So for a physician, just to help you to understand, this kind of threat hanging over your head is worse than the threat of getting fired. If I get fired from a particular healthcare organization, I can go to another healthcare organization or go start a private practice. If I lose my medical license, I cannot practice medicine. Okay, that's how serious this is. The letter never defined what might constitute an appropriate or inappropriate mask mandate. So I have no idea if I write a mandate for a kid with a severe anxiety disorder that's worsened by the wearing of a mask. Is that going to subject my medical license to disciplinary action? Physicians in California interpreted the phrase and other COVID-related measures to include vaccines, which are already been rolled out at that point, it has become de facto impossible to get a medical exemption for a COVID vaccine in the state of California. No.
There you go. The doctors are under threat by the medical fascists, and so none of them are able to sign these exemptions. Meanwhile, we had another part of the hearing where they've been talking about DOD whistleblowers who have accepted to be named publicly. And they are doctors inside the Department of Defense who are observing intense rises in various health problems since the vaccine campaign began.
Please tell me, apparently one of the whistleblowers is brave enough to come forward and give a name, or I would not have allowed you to come.
Yes, Senator. So we've got three whistleblowers who have given me permission at this point to share their name. Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, DOMPH, Dr. Samuel Sigloff, and Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Peter Chambers, DO and Flight Surgeon. All three have given me this data. I have declarations from all three. This data is under penalty. This is under penalty of perjury. We intend to submit this to the courts. We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots, over 1,000% increase.
That's 10 times the rate, and obviously that resonates.
83,000 per year, I'm sorry, 82,000 per year to 863,000 in 1 year. Our soldiers are being experimented on, injured, and sometimes possibly killed. Dr. Corey, thank you so much for your stance.
All right, so we have certain rises of disease. How do you conclude whether that's vaccine induced? How do you prove that it's not vaccine induced? If you have a rise of 10 times in a certain place, in a certain practice, which in this case is in the military, 10 times more neurological disorders of some kind, how do you sort out to what extent is the novelty that we've done this year of injecting billions of people with a product that was poorly tested and not tested for long? How do you make sense of this, especially since so much attacks have been made to eliminate the control group? There's just no way. We might never know. It will always be a matter of judgment, because there will not be a scientific answer. We don't have a big enough control group to compare with the... And we don't have, most importantly, a control group that would have been selected randomly. At this point, if you're part of the unvaccinated, you are highly likely to have a radically different diet, radically different political beliefs, radically different everyday behavior. We'll never know with a randomized control trial level of threshold of evidence whether these observations are linked. John Drake says, Jeff, the scientist in you is overriding your common sense here. Well, the thing is, to the contrary, my common sense and the scientific in me, as you call it, are the same thing. The thing is, I don't like correlative evidence, and we have to face the fact that even if you had 10 times more neurological disorders, it could be because of the lifestyle of lockdowns, it could be because of the lack of exercise, it could be because of the lack of social stimulus and the whole associated physiological changes. I'm not being intimidated or being pressured into one viewer another, but I've always rejected correlative evidence when it went from the other side. Now, this correlative evidence is also unsatisfying, but it's certainly worrying. It's the kind of correlative evidence that would justify why don't we do an actual randomized controlled trial over the period of 10 years? Well, we know what the answer is. We don't do this because we don't want to know, because no one has the interest in wanting to know, and so vaccines are assumed to be beneficial. And that's why, well, Pfizer doesn't want to know. That's why they've hidden their documents submitted to the FDA from the public view. The CDC doesn't want to know because they are totally in bed with the economic interest of the vaccine companies. So you got no one left, and even the NIH people like Fauci, either they are in economic interest with the vaccine companies, or they are so self-absorbed and they have pursued this narcissistic solution to the pandemic that they're too committed to abandon it at this point. Jan sends $25. Thank you so much, Jan, for sending your support. I was wondering if you would come back because you had told me, Jeff, if you move to Odyssey, I will send you $100 a week. And I was like, my God, if Jan is not coming to save us, my move to Odyssey would have cost me a lot. He says, because of demographical changes, general IQ reduction, general immune system worsening, and other problems, neurological disorders are expected to go up yearly. Not that much, though. I totally agree with your observation here. It's like, if you play with correlative data, it's all a matter of balancing the data, which really is why I just reject generally any correlative data. That's why I always demand a randomized controlled trial of some kind, well-balanced, well-representative of the population, and with large amounts of data, especially if we're talking about rare, about something as innocuous and soft as COVID, because if you make a small trial with COVID, the big problem is you could have a couple thousand people. You're going to have 10 deaths, you're going to have 5 deaths in one group, and the resolution becomes very small on these deaths. So that's why we need massive amounts of people. But yeah, if you're stuck with correlational data, then you're stuck with the fact that we're on a roller coaster of demographics change. And you know, right now, the age of people every year is increasing on average. So what does that mean? It means that there are more people weaker overall in the population today than there were 5 years ago. So if you start working with raw numbers here, you fool yourself. The fact is there is more weak people, more people who should suffer more from COVID and who are more likely to die from COVID as we progress into the future. So it's a big mess. Biden calls Fox News reporter Peter Ducey a stupid son of a bitch over a question about inflation in the midterms. People are saying, oh, Biden caught on hot mic moment. I don't even know. Was it a hot mic moment? He seems to be just carelessly insulting this Fox News guy.
Will you take questions on inflation then?
So the Fox News guy is saying, question about inflation then?
Thank you. Thank you all.
Do you think inflation is a political liability?
Do you think that inflation is a political liability? And here Biden will say, like sarcastically, he will say, no, I think it's a great asset, you idiot. But basically, that's what he will say. But not you will not say idiot, he will say son of a bitch or something like this.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
No, it's a great asset. More inflation, you stupid son of a bitch. So the right is like, oh, it's a moment of honesty from Biden. I don't know if I'm excited about this, guys. This is Biden sarcastically saying more inflation. So just to be clear, he's not saying I want more inflation. He's sarcastically saying, yeah, what do you think, you idiot, that I would want more inflation? So let's calm down the social media, excitement around this. This is not exciting. Trump was giving us that kind of sarcastic comment and dismissive comments on an everyday basis. I think that Biden is just trying to get a piece of the pie. Jan sends $100. He says, I just missed the live show many days in a row. All right. Well, it's good to see you again. And thank you so much for the support. I was actually thinking about going back to YouTube, because I was like, bro, if Jan is not following us to Odyssey, you know, maybe initially he was excited at Odyssey, but maybe he really likes Entropy. And I was like, I'm going to have to go back to YouTube to get Jan back in on track. PPT rescues S&P from worst ever start to a year, rate hike odds tumble. So there was a late recovery, but largely the stocks have been falling and falling and falling. They're talking about this recovery here, but that's just a save at the bottom. It could very well fall again and continue falling. A dark outlook is looming over America. This small NBC poll reveals most Americans think country going downhill and is lost. Pessimism in America has gone mainstream, according to a new NBC News poll. Between a senile teleprompter president who recently admitted he can't in fact shut down COVID as promised, rampant inflation causing real wages to stagnate, an ongoing division over everything from election integrity to pandemic mandates, to what's being taught in school, Americans have become extremely sour on the future less than 10 months before the midterm elections. It's so obviously bad that even legacy media mouthpieces aren't carrying water for Biden anymore, and all White House spokes Jen Psaki can do is offer mean girl quips to honest questions. Okay, there is sign of the Democrats essentially as expecting to lose the election. And I don't know if that is to be celebrated that hard, because I don't know that the loss of the Democrats in the midterms will change anything. Biden will continue to be essentially a non-president for America. Biden will continue to have probably the possibility of causing conflict in Ukraine versus Russia. The Congress could in principle stop him, because it's a responsibility of the Congress to start a war. But traditionally, presidents have been able to create the conditions at all time for any war they wanted, and the Congress followed up, whether Republican or Democrat. So what will we gain from a loss of the Democrats in the midterms? Just a fragmentation of power so that the Democrats don't have full control over all the House and Senate. But even then, they don't have full control right now because of Sinema and Joe Manchin, the resistance within the Democrat Party that are keeping the worst laws from being enacted. So Cosmic Nut says, yes, they voted for that carcass. Yes. It's what the Democrats wanted. They wanted someone to stand in instead of Trump. Anyone. CEB says, Jeff, I'm in the Ottawa area. Moms Against the Vax are organizing households to room truckers. Oh, wow. The truckers are benefiting from a public sympathy that is quite awesome in Canada. I like it. I think they're going to be very well cared for in the Ottawa area. It's great. And many of them can totally sleep in their vans. I don't think it's a problem for them. These guys are doing sometimes road trips of 25, 30, 40 hours of driving, no problem. So they can totally stay in their van. Mayor Eric Adams releases blueprint to end gun violence in New York City. And the funny thing is, I was reading through, and of course, I'm sure there will be attacks on gun rights and that kind of stuff. But ultimately, what the plan is we're going to put police on the street to pursue criminals. And I was like, this is totally the other way around from what they used to say, defund the police. And now he's essentially saying refund the police. Well, okay, you could have just not defunded the police and you'd be good. Go Away says, CEB, room truckers, lol, nice euphemism. Also, you think that the anti-vax mom will be essentially having sex with the truckers? That's what you think, Sprocket? Sprocket is having sexual fantasies, expressing them right here on the regular chat. The bias news, just in, Supreme Court agrees to hear affirmative action cases in a bid to restrict Harvard University and the University of North Carolina from considering race in undergraduate admissions. That's interesting. It's obvious, of course, it's the case of the discrimination that is happening in our university system against Asian and white applicants to the interest, of course, of Black and at times other races in the selection process. Because, of course, we all know that if we were strictly choosing on academic merit, like the notes that you get at your exams, you would essentially fill all of our universities with Asian people. That's all there would be. You'd have a couple of whites, maybe, and a couple of Jews, but essentially the Asians would take over. And so we're ultimately faced with the fact that all of these admission process and these interview scoring practices are meant to favor Blacks and Jews and perhaps even Indians against the East Asians and the whites. And so this is a case of racial discrimination. However, traditionally, in the last few decades, the Supreme Court has been standing by this racial discrimination, saying universities can diversify their student body using these strategies. But now we have a different Supreme Court. And so perhaps they will adopt a different view. That will be interesting to follow. UN defines Holocaust denial in new resolution. So, I mean, the idea of this question being subject to any debate anymore is becoming impossible. In fact, they are extending what it means to do Holocaust denial, and it doesn't just mean questioning the historical event. It includes intentional efforts to excuse or minimize the impact of the Holocaust or its principal elements, including collaborators and allies of Nazi Germany, gross minimization of the number of victims of the Holocaust in contradiction to reliable sources. So, gross. So that means you can still argue, oh, maybe there was 5,999,999, but you can't go down to like 1 million, 2 million. That would be too gross. You have to be subtle in your questioning of the number. attempts to blame the Jews for causing their own genocide, statements that cast the Holocaust as a positive historical event, and attempts to blur the responsibility for the establishment of concentration and death camps devised and operated by Nazi Germany by putting the blame on other nations or ethnic groups. So it's even Holocaust denial at this point to be moving the blame to some other nation. Like, you couldn't say, oh, well, okay, this happened because of Poland, or this happened because of the fascistic regime of Spain or Italy or whatever. No, it has to be Nazi Germany. If you don't say this, it's Holocaust denial. Court asked to block punishment of all Navy members seeking religious exemptions from mandate. A federal court that blocked punishment of 35 Navy members seeking religious exemptions to the military COVID-19 vaccine mandate should widen the ruling to cover any Navy personnel seeking an exception. Lawyers said in a filing Monday. The complaint in the case, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so they are facing discipline or punishment for following their faith. Of course, there was such determination by the Biden administration to be leaving this appearance of an out, but in reality, we all know there are no outs. It's like, oh, there's the exemption, but we will question your exemption if you do it. We will ask you, oh, do you actually believe in this? Oh yeah, Navi is not, it's not the right way to pronunciate it. It's Navy. In the Navy. In the Navy. I don't know. I prefer Navi. I don't know. I just prefer it. Apparently, people have reported that that Richard Hart had been banned from YouTube, but apparently he is back. For it seems that he was talking so much about crypto and stuff of that kind that he somehow the algorithm went after him, but they decided to withdraw the ban. So Richard Hart is back with his YouTube channel, thankfully, because he's a friend of ours and he had been coming to the show, and there's nothing that this guy do that's illegal or that's a scam. It's just an investment opportunity. There's just these crypto projects that he's creating, and he should be able to create them. Jan sends $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, whites are underrepresented at Ivy League schools compared to Asians. The trick here is that Jews that are extremely overrepresented are lumped in together with whites. The mostly Jewish admission committees mark down the personality on Asians and whites and marks it up on Jewish students. Oh yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's why I've been very uninterested in pursuing in academia, because when I saw the whole system for what it is, it's essentially ethnic preferences being played in the back scene, like hidden from sight. It's what happens in the peer-reviewed process. It's what happens at the student selection. I've never been the victim of student selection because I wasn't in elite university from the start. I eventually made it into elite universities. Like after my PhD, I've done research at Duke, but I don't think I could have entered at Duke as a undergrad student. See, first, I didn't have stellar grades. Secondly, I was more of a kind of creative rebel thinker, and the system would totally reject that kind of stuff these days. I'm lucky that I could even do it in my times. But yeah, I felt like I was playing a game that's set against me. That's how it feels to be in the academia. And yet, yes, there is definitely racial and ethnic preferences that are playing out in your face and that are going against all principles of meritocratic expectations for that kind of domain. All right, well, that is all I had for today. We've gone through the news relatively quick. So we'll be headed toward the conclusion, unless you guys have any more questions, in which case join Entropy and send me your questions like Human Drill just did. And let's see our survey. Are you enthusiastic about Trump Social? 100% of the people, 6 people answered no. I think we have to withdraw on Gab. And anyways, Gab had everything right. And, it's been annoying to me, Gab, because there are lots of personalities on there I don't want to hear about. Like, there are a lot of people, sometimes they can be aggressive, they can bring subjects that are, like, totally beside the track and just for provocation, but you have to take the time to create an account at Gab, create your own news feed, block the people who are annoying to you, and then it's really the ultimate form of free speech. It's at Gab that it's happening. Human Drill sends a message on Entropy. He says, my best friend is a rule deal communist. Do you think the far left intellectuals would join the far right intellectuals and create a new political party? First, what is a rule deal communist? I'm Googling it and I don't. Rule deal definition? What does rule deal mean? There's not even a definition of rule deal. So is it possible you mistyped or explain to me what you mean? Now, when you ask the second question, do you think that the far left intellectuals would join the far right intellectuals and create a new political party? First, as far as I can tell, intellectuals don't create political parties. Intellectuals are either they are in an open society in which they can openly contribute to public discourse, like we kind of used to be, maybe in the early internet, or we are in a closed society and they get oppressed until their voice doesn't count anymore, like we're increasingly reaching right now. In both cases, intellectuals very rarely become political actors. True intellectuals. Now, you have people like Eric Zemmour that might be an exception, but is he really an intellectual? Yeah, I guess you could say but he was a very political thinker. Intellectuals who are thinking outside of politics generally will not get into politics. Even a Joe Rogan, who's not super high intelligence, even a guy like him will not make it to the political sphere because it feels too dirty. You need a certain kind of honesty to become a relevant intellectual, to have really something that you discover or that you can perceive in the world. You need to have some kind of integrity. And generally, the threshold for having enough integrity to make you a relevant intellectual will give you too much integrity to consider being a politician. It's just, you can do one or the other, but you can't do both. Now, I get your question in a more general sense. Could left-wing and right-wing team together to form an alliance against the center? This has been an exciting idea to me, but that I've never seen become realistic in any form. It was a talk that was done in France, for example, many years ago. Alain Soral would talk about this, the Alliance of the Extreme, where you can see the political circle rather than the political axis between left and right. You can see it as a circle, and ultimately the center, like political managerism that is taking over our current society, becomes so painful for people to endure that they're willing to team up with anyone, including their total political opposite. I think it's an exciting theory, but I've not seen it lead to any kind of fruits. And I've not seen it take on a successful political endeavor. You could argue that it's almost what Trump did in a way. And it's almost what the people who are regularly using the word populism, it's almost what they're trying to do. And in a way, you could argue that Trump is this kind of circled political individual in that he's in his heart, he's a leftist. And yet he was the leader of the Republican Party and became a right-wing president elected by, you know, a right-wing crowd. Among others that were cheering Trump are the right-wing of the internet. So you could argue that this is happening in certain events of society, but largely I would say it's mostly a form of anti-elitism, and the elites of today happen to manage at the center. So anti-elitism can find sympathetic personalities in the left and the right. You know, in a way, when you look at how Vaush will interact with a so-called far-right personality, he's more respectful to them than a Charlie Kirk would be, see? And that's a little bit the phenomenon you mentioned. There is more respect between the far left and the far right than there is between the center and the far right. Because the center is willing to crush the far right, to ignore them, to present their voice as illegitimate and as not even deserving a hearing. And that's because the business of the center is exclusionary management. It's we're taking power and we're not letting you take power and we're better than you. Whereas the far left and the far right are in a struggle of ideas where they can engage. There is value for Vaush to be hearing from me, and there's value for me to be hearing from Vaush. But the center person who's controlling politics as it happens in the US today, this person has no interest in featuring me or even debating against me. Human Drill says, I meant real deal, just a communist, and he is also not pro-gay. Okay, so he's one of these old school communists, real deal communist. Yeah, so these real deal communists, a little bit like Vaush to a certain extent, that's what I was describing. They can seem more open, but to say that there could be a political party of this, I'd be surprised. Corvin Callsign sends $10 on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, any desire to continue your analysis of the lyrical stylings of one of Mr. Frederick Durst? For example, do the lyrics, I did it all for the new key, so you can take that cookie and shove it up your, yeah, expose a resistance to the societal takeover of TRP. New key lyrics, I have to say that I've not been listening with that much attention. This new key song to me from Fred Durst and the Limp Bizkit. For me, it's a song that hasn't drawn as much attention as many other songs that I really like. I came into this world as a reject. Look into these eyes. Then you'll see the size of the flames. Dwelling on the past, it's burning on my brain. Everyone that burns has to learn from the pain. Hey, I think about the day my girlie ran away with my pay when fellas came to play. Now she's stuck with my homies that she fucked, and I'm just a sucker with a lump in my throat. Should I be feeling bad? Should I be feeling good? It's kind of sad. I'm the laughing stock of the neighborhood, and you would think that I'd be moving on. But I'm a sucker, like I said, fucked up in the head, not. And maybe she just made a mistake and I should give her a break. My heart will ache either way. Hey, what the hell? What do you want me to say? I won't lie. I can't, that I can't deny. I did it all for the new key, so you can take that cookie and stick it up your yay. Stick it up your yay. Stick it up your yay. I see no reference in there to the revolutionary phenotype, Corvin. What I see is the distress of a man who has lost a an opportunity for reproduction. I guess you could make the case that Fred Durst, in writing these lyrics, was fundamentally on a path of DNA self-replication. Certainly, you could say that. But did he have in his mind, as he was thinking about this girl who was fucking in the neighborhood, as he describes, did he have the conception that there was an alternative, that this girl could have done something else, that this girl could have committed a phenotypic revolution? I don't think we can go as far as to attribute utter intent in the sense of the revolutionary phenotype here. Colonel J sends a super chat. He says, Papa, when you rebranded to JFG Tonight, you asked us, your audience, to remove old clips of you to preserve YouTube monetization. Do you still wish this of us since your move to Odyssey? I would say I largely don't care anymore. I've decided to abandon YouTube monetization. I'm wondering if I'll just let it, you know, because if I don't publish videos for a couple of months, they're certainly going to delete it, the monetization. Or maybe I could just actively click on abandon the partner program. I'm juggling with the IDs, but in any case, to your question, I don't really care if certain old videos of mine are existing out there and you guys are sharing it between one another. What I would appreciate is that people know from these little clips or whatever that they know where I stand at this time. So perhaps a link to my Gab, perhaps a link to my Odyssey. That would be very appreciated. Jeffrey Epstein sends 100 my Gab. Oops, sorry. I have difficulty clicking on the super chat. Jeffrey Epstein makes an appeal to not denying the Holocaust. He says, do not deny the Holocaust. It is very bad. Well, that is our conclusion for today. Thank you for your contribution, Jeffrey Epstein. Thank you all for joining us tonight. It's great to see great watcher counts, and especially when we have guests, I see that we're attracting bigger and bigger crowds. So I reserved the guest already. He's going to come to us Thursday. Semiogog has accepted to come on the show. He's always had great insight on when he was commenting on North Africa, the Mediterranean, the oil industry. And so I thought it would be good to have him to talk to us about Kazakhstan, Ukraine, what's happening around Russia. That's it for tonight, boys. Don't forget, the show is available in MP3, and all the links that I use in the show are available in the description. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.
We'll be right back.